This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run, Julian Chuang and Xiaoning with you. So yesterday afternoon, Bank Negara Monetary Policy Committee decided to cut overnight policy rates by 25 basis points to 2.5% to provide a more accommodative monetary environment and in support of projected improvement in Malaysia's economic growth while COVID-19 is going on.
Now, Bank Negara said that the ceiling rates are reduced to 2.75%, while the floor rates are lowered to 2.25%. Now, Bank Negara noted in its statement that in recent period, global economic conditions have weakened. The ongoing COVID-19 outbreak has disrupted production and travel activity, especially within the region. This has led to greater risk aversion, resulting in tighter financial conditions and a resurgence in financial market volatility.
Can someone explain to me what's the difference between the ceiling rates and the floor rates? All I know generally is that banks are supposed to give you cheaper loans, right? Essentially.
Yes. In a nutshell.
Right?
Yeah. So basically it's come down from 2.75 to 2.5.
It gives you that feel of democracy, like, you know, you can do
there's
anything.
There's a range.
You can do anything in between.
So the banks have the autonomy to dictate how much they want to cut by, basically. But yeah, only to that those rates.
Yes. So usually they just stick to the middle. Just think about it, the middle is the safest place to be.
The middle is the safest place to be. Unless they really, really need some loan growth.
No, actually, Bank Negara is just lending to the banks. Well, the banks lend directly to you.
I don't see why they can just give the money to the people directly.
Well, that's what I say.
Just rent a whole bunch of Sikorsky helicopters and then just rain cash on the world. You know,
all right,
it'd be amazing.
Let's see if we can settle this with Julia Goh, senior economist, UOB Malaysia, who's on the line right now. Good morning, Julia, and thanks for joining us. So the overnight policy rate cut by 25 basis points. Was this expected, and why did Bank Negara decide to do it?
Well, the market views were split between a hold and a cut, but I think majority of the calls were for a 25 basis point cut, and hence I think Bank Negara's decision did come in line with market expectations. We think there are a few reasons for the cut, but the concerns were mainly centered on COVID-19 risks. Though the risks are still evolving, but I think the effects have become more contagious as we are seeing more countries affected, and there are signs that global growth has weakened, and as we have seen, financial markets have corrected. I think it has become a global concern with G7 countries pledging support to fight against the coronavirus. And I think as we've seen from the Federal Reserve's actions yesterday, as they made an emergency 50 basis point rate cut, I think it's quite telling about the risks. So that would be on the global side. But I think on top of that, Bank Negara's rate cut was also likely to provide additional support to the fiscal stimulus package that was announced.
And Julia, do you expect further rate cuts going forward? And does the surprise Fed rate cut of 50 bips change that forecast of yours?
Yes, even though Bank Negara has done 2 back-to-back rate cuts. So this is probably the first time since 10 years ago, the financial crisis. So I would not rule out further cuts at this juncture, given that it looks like we are in uncharted territory. Even though rates are at 10-year lows, I think the extent of the coronavirus risk remains uncertain. And the Fed's actions are telling. And while we have considered the impact of weakness in China, we now have to consider how this virus is affecting US and the rest of the world. So as they take more stringent measures, I think this is likely to have an impact on demand and growth.
Yeah, Julia, the preemptive nature of Bank Negara as well as the Fed's actions are quite telling in terms of their expectations for growth going forward. How does this translate to the whole year's GDP forecast? What is your sense?
We are expecting slower growth in the first half of the year and then followed by a moderate recovery in the second half. So I think that's the typical trajectory of the path, you know. But I think much depends on the duration and severity of the crisis. So we have a base case of 4% for this year, but I think a severe case could go as low as 3%. And I think that's also in line with what the official growth forecasts are, which is between 3.2% and 4.2%.
And given the preemptive natures of what central banks around the world are doing, together with the stimulus measures as well, it doesn't really mean that things would go the way they want to. So what are some of the key risks do you think the Malaysian economy will face going forward?
I think, yeah, you're right, because I think at this point, how much monetary stimulus can do is really a question mark. And we've seen that central banks have already used up a lot of ammunition. So I think the key risk going forward is we are watching what China's economy is faring, how soon they can resume activity. We're also watching how other countries are managing the risk, because I think the more stringent the measures they take, then obviously the bigger the impact on growth. So I think the key to watch at this point is the U.S. Mm-hmm. And for Malaysia, I think it would be the implementation and the effectiveness of the fiscal package, how soon the affected businesses and individuals will receive the necessary support. And I think also another one to watch is the commodity sector, because we are seeing crude oil prices coming off already to $50.
Thanks so much. And that was Julia Goh, Senior Economist for UOB Malaysia. So worst case scenario, 3% GDP growth with a headwind risk coming from China.
Interesting. And interesting. The commonly held notion that there's going to be a dip in Q1 and a recovery in Q2 looks more and more tenuous at this point in time. Because I see from the news, the majority of deaths from the coronavirus now has exceeded that in China. So the global nature, I mean, Iran is clearly one of the most afflicted. It's senior ministers. It's, I think this health minister as well was
afflicted. 26 MPs in Iran.
South Korea, yeah. Their deaths in America now. Washington has, I think, 9 or something. It's really quite interesting now.
I think what would be worrying is COVID-19 spreads to countries which don't have such robust medical facilities or systems, right? So imagine if it goes to places like Africa where, you know, their healthcare is not the best.
They'll just run riot.
Yeah, then, you know, how bad will it be? I mean, there's of course the economic cost, but there's also the cost to ordinary folk. What can they do? What are the options?
That might also give a second wind to the spread, going into Africa and making that even more contagious, spreading that outwards.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.